What's up, y'all? I am excited to be here. Just to kind of put one last little plug in about the class, I am going to be talking about evangelism and witnessing today in my message, but today is kind of like a flyover view. I'm going to hit some key points, but in this class, we're going to really, really dig deep because I told Pastor Josh when we were, you know, meeting about, you know, starting this class and me preaching today, I was like, I would love it if Trailhead Church was known as a church that wins the lost. Okay, one person agrees with me. All right, the rest of you, after y'all get saved this morning, I want... The greatest thing to ever happen to me is Jesus. I've never met a person who said, I gave my life to Jesus and my life got worse. Now, it doesn't mean that sometimes life isn't hard, but my life is so much better with Jesus in it. And so in this class, you know, like we say in the video, we're going to hit some key points, help you kind of work on your testimony, things like that, but we're also going to help you. Like if somebody comes up to you, like you're witnessing to somebody and they start asking you the really, really difficult questions, we're going to tackle that in this class. So if you are interested, like I said, you can sign up in the app. If you don't know how to do all that stuff, stop by the info desk on the way out. If you're technology challenged, you can swing by there. They will help you. But I just want to see people. I tell people all the time, my job is to make heaven crowded. I want to make heaven as crowded as possible because God will just make it bigger. I don't want anybody to go to hell. That's what it comes down to. So if you are interested, sign up for that class. Also, one last little commercial. It's been a while since I've preached at Trailhead. A few years, 2-3 years maybe. And there are a lot of new people here. Like I see people, my wife and I, we serve in the children's department, so we normally don't see you guys. We normally just see your little booger pickers when we're running them back and forth to their classes. But I see people all the time, like, coming in at our church. I was like, who are these people? And it's y'all, because we're second service. So we don't, and there are people sometimes I'm like, gosh, our friends don't go to church anymore. But they do. They just go to first service, you know. So, if you have never seen it or read it, I do have copies of my book available today as well. And this, when I wrote my book, it wasn't to become famous or get rich. And it's working because I haven't done either. My purpose in writing this book was to see people come to Jesus. I have in here, like, I share my full testimony, which I'm not doing this morning, but in here I share my full testimony of how I lost my arm, how Jesus found me, and all kinds of stuff. But in here I actually also have the sinner's prayer, and I walk people through what it means to be a Christian. And so I know there are some people who, they will never darken the doors of a church. They've been church hurt, or they think the church is full of hypocrites. But yet Walmart's full of hypocrites, but they don't stop going to Walmart. But that's a different story. But if you can't get them to come to church, maybe they'll read a book. So we will have these available after service in the lobby. They are $20. We take cash, check, PayPal, Venmo. We can take your card. We can do all that kind of stuff. I used to say we would take your firstborn, but I've got three girls, and I don't want any more. So anyway, but just to kind of jump into the message today, the title of my message is That All May Know. And what does that mean? I want everybody to know about the goodness of God. I want everybody to know that there is good news, that they don't have to go to hell when they die. There's been good news that has been given to us, and it is our job to share that good news with other people. My story of coming to Jesus, now I was raised in church my whole life. I was always in church. I have a pen on the front of my bag that I always carry my Bible in. It's a pen that's about this big. It's a little cross. And I got that when I was a kid for going to church 3 years in a row without missing a Sunday. I got a pen that big. Like, not a TV or something like that, you know? But I spent my whole life in church. I knew about Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. There's a big difference there. So after my accident, I ended up going to, and after all my surgeries and all that kind of stuff, I ended up going to Appalachian State. And, all right, woo-woo. All right, there's another Mountaineer over there. All right, good to know. So I went to App State, and my roommate at App was a football player. He and I had actually played baseball together our whole lives, but he was just one of those really good athletes and could play any sport. And so he was actually on scholarship to play football at App. And so I got to be friends with a lot of the football players just because he was a football player. And so anytime they were going to go do something, they would always invite me to go. So one day they were going to go play basketball, and they're like, Jeff, do you want to go? And I'm like, sure, you know. I was like, I'm not the best basketball player in the world, but, you know, I'm not the worst either. I've got a really good crossover. Some of y'all get that later. But so we get to the gym there at Appalachian State to, you know, we're going to run a full-court game, so we needed 10 players. So I started counting to see how many players we had, and we had 11. I was like, well, that means one person's not going to get picked. I wonder who that's going to be. So I looked around. I was really hoping there was a guy there with no arms, but there wasn't. And so sure enough, when they picked teams, I didn't get picked. And so I just went off on another goal, and I was just over there shooting by myself. And so at Appalachian State, there were these four full-court basketball courts with a track that goes around it that people are walking and running on. So I'm kind of over there shooting, and people were walking by, and typically what would happen, they would walk by my court, and they would look at me, and then they would look away, and then they would immediately look back. And I get it. It's not every day you see a one-armed guy shooting basketball, so I'm used to getting that second glance pretty much everywhere I go, but especially if I'm doing something athletic. And so that happened with pretty much everybody that walked by my court. But there was one girl in particular. When she came to my court, she glanced at me, and she looked away, and then she stared at me the entire time she walked by my court. And I was like, okay, I get it. You know, not every day you see a one-armed guy shooting basketball. Well, the next time she comes by, as soon as she gets to my court, she starts staring at me as soon as she gets to my court. And she stares at me the entire time she walks by. And I'm like, okay, I get it. I'm different from everybody else, but you're in college. This shouldn't be that big of a deal. The next lap, same thing. Next lap, same thing. I'm starting to get mad. I'm like, you need to get over this. Like, it's not that big of a deal. I wanted to be like, you know, come get you some. But I didn't want to get beat up by a girl, so I didn't do that. But, I mean, lap after lap, she stared me down like I owed her money every time she walked by my court. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? And then eventually the guy in me kicked in. And I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe she's checking me out. You know what I mean? Now, that shouldn't be that funny, y'all. She wasn't. But at the time, I thought, well, maybe she's checking me out. By the way, let me tell you, this was not Kelly. This was not my wife. People ask me that all the time after. Was that Kelly? No, this was a long time ago. And so I started thinking then, okay, how can I get her to come talk to me? Because I had lost a lot. Not only did I lose an arm, I lost a lot of self-esteem, confidence, all that kind of stuff. I didn't have the confidence to go up and start talking to a girl. That just wasn't how it worked. So I was like, how can I get her to come talk to me? So what I decided to do was move closer to the track so she wouldn't have as long of a walk if she wanted to come talk to me. And so sure enough, the first time I moved over closer to the track and was shooting from there, she walks up to me and starts talking to me. And you know how when you're talking to somebody and you can tell they really want to ask you a question, and I'm like, you can ask me out. I'm going to say yes. And she's like, I was wondering, and I was like, here it comes, if you'd like to go to church with me sometime. And I was mad. Because at this time, I was mad at God. Because I thought God had taken my arm. I didn't know the Bible, John 10:10, that says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. So I was mad at God for something that he didn't do. So when she invited me to church, I'm like, well, this is an easy answer. It's obviously no. And so I said, sure. Ethan, I'm smarter than that, dude. Like, I should know. The answer was no. But I'm like, why did I say? So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go just because I told her I would. But I had had a conversation with God. I said, you know, you did this to me. You go your way. I go mine. I'm done. I want nothing to do with you. But then I said, sure. So I go to this church, and there was a missionary there from Africa. And he had been in Africa forever. Like, I'm pretty sure he invented Africa. Like, that's how long he had been in Africa. And he starts talking about the goodness of God. And I start thinking about, gosh, the God that he's talking about and the God that I'm mad at, they don't line up with each other. And at the end of the service, he gave an altar call. And so the girl that had invited me to church, she leaned over. She goes, are you a Christian? I said, yeah, I think so. Now, this is the guy who told God he was done. She asked me why I was a Christian. It's like, I'm a good person. I was raised in church. I used to speak at my church, which meant I was in the Christmas and Easter place. She said, would you like to go forward just to be sure? And I was like, yeah, it won't hurt. And so I went forward. And the one thing I can tell you, the person that got out of his seat and came to the front and the guy that went back to his seat were two completely different people. Like, Jesus changed my life in an instant. In an instant. And the funny thing is like, I tell that story and that girl walking the track, I think it was around 13 laps before she finally came up to talk to me. Why do I share that story with y'all when I'm talking about evangelism? The moment she saw me, she told me, she said, God spoke to me and told me to come and invite you to church. And it took her 13 laps to build up the courage. But what if she hadn't? Where would my life be today if a stranger didn't care enough about my eternity to come up and invite me to church? I've been preaching now for 30 years. I started when I was 2. But I've had the opportunity to lead thousands of people to Christ, both in churches, on the streets, in Walmart, on Facebook. Where would those thousands of people be if a stranger didn't care enough about my eternity to invite me to church? So that's why we're going to get into this morning. Now, the girl who shared her invited me to church, her name was Sherry. And I want y'all to pray for Sherry because every few years or so, I would message her on Facebook and say, thank you for inviting a complete stranger to church. Well, Sherry told me, she's like, I don't believe that anymore. And that breaks my heart. So y'all pray for Sherry if you would. Now, Sherry didn't exactly share her faith with me, but she did the next best thing. She got me to a place where Jesus was being preached. So it's time for us as believers to stand up and start doing what God has called us to do. I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon. You can put it up on the screen. Charles Spurgeon was known as the Prince of Preachers. And I love this quote. He said, if sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let not one go there unwarned or unprayed for. Now, who's going to do that? It'd be nice if somebody would have said me, but all right, we'll keep going. Did you know that in all four Gospels, before Jesus ascended into heaven, he talked to his disciples about witnessing? In all four. The first one is in Matthew 28, 19. And there it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Now, a lot of times people read that verse like go into all the world. They think that means they've got to sell everything they have and move to China or Africa or wherever. But did you know this means going off to far off places like Snow Camp, Gibsonville, Graham? All the world means all the world. All the world means Walmart. All the world means your neighborhood. You see, in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47, Jesus said, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So we're told again to preach the remission of sins. Now, I'll share what John wrote in his gospel in just a little bit. But I think it's important to note that this message to his disciples was included in all four gospels. So if you're a follower of Jesus, this message applies to you too. If you've accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you've been called into ministry. Now, some of y'all just got real. It's like, oh my gosh, am I preaching next Sunday? No, I don't mean that. You might. You never know. But you have been called into the ministry. And if you want to know what your calling is, if you came into church this morning and was like, God, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? I'm going to show you in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Paul writing, he said, "And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation." So each and every one of us in this room today and those watching online, we've all been called into what is called the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I didn't know what that meant. I graduated from high school and I paid attention some at App State enough to get a degree, but I didn't know, like, what is reconciliation? And what that means is to bring into a changed relationship. So our job as believers in this ministry of reconciliation is to bring people into a changed relationship with their Heavenly Father, letting them know that the sins they've committed, they can be forgiven of all of those sins. And some people are like, well, that's too simple. That's the awesome thing about the gospel. It's simple. Jesus lived a sinless life and took my place on the cross. I'm the one who deserves to be on the cross. They'd have a hard time getting me up there. I'd probably be flopping down on this side. But like, I'm the one who deserves to be up there. But he lived a perfect, spotless, sinless life for me and for you and for everybody in this world that we can minister to. So now that we know that we're all called to ministry, everybody, like, go make your business cards. Put it, Ethan Oles, Minister of Reconciliation. Like, you can all go make business cards right now that you are a Minister of Reconciliation. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to do what Romans 10, 13 through 14 says. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Like, isn't that good news, y'all? But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? So belief is a step in this process. And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? That's our step in this process. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Y'all, that's where we come in. Now, there are times that there's these supernatural experiences that you hear. A lot of times you seem to hear about it in, you know, countries in the Middle East or whatever, of like Jesus showing up in a vision to somebody and be like, hey, stop acting like an idiot, follow me. He probably doesn't say acting like an idiot. That's the Jeff Bardell translation. But most people, Jesus isn't going to show up one-on-one and be like, hey, follow me. Because we're basically supposed to be a bunch of Jesus juniors. We're supposed to be going and telling the good news about him to everybody that we come across. And the thing is, if it hasn't already, before you leave service today, I'm kind of guessing that somebody's going to pop to your mind that you're supposed to witness to. Maybe take that as a hint that the Holy Spirit's also trying to do something here. But let's say you don't have a person pop up. You're going to run across somebody when you leave church today. Maybe that's the person you're supposed to witness to. Now let me ask you this question, because this is where a lot of people stop. And I want y'all, if you would be honest with me, by a show of hands, how many people get nervous at the thought of sharing their faith? Okay, a lot of honest people in here this morning. I don't know if you noticed, my hand went up too. I still get nervous sharing my faith at times. Recently, there's a guy at my job who comes into my job every Wednesday. And he used to always come in with his wife. One day he was there by himself, and his name's Bruce. I was like, Bruce, you flying solo today? And he started crying. I was like, oh, crap. And he told me that his wife had passed away. It's like, oh, man. So I told him I was sorry. I prayed with him and said, you know, we're here for you if there's anything we can do. Well, then about 8 months or so ago, he came into the store, and I was like, Bruce, how you doing? And he's like, not very good. And that's unusual, because he's never really said that. He's always just like, hey, Jeff. And I was like, what's going on? He said, my doctor just diagnosed me with cancer. I was like, Bruce, I am sorry. I am so sorry. I went and told my store manager what was going on, and she's a believer as well. And she said, do you think he'll let us pray for him? I was like, well, I'll go ask. And so he said yes, and so we prayed with him, and he cried the whole time. Well, about a month and a half ago now, he came in the store. Hey, Bruce, how you doing? Not good. I was like, what's going on? He said, the doctors told me my cancer is terminal. And I was like, Bruce, I am so, so sorry. I'm here, I'll talk with you, I'll do whatever. And so as he was leaving the store that day, it hit me so hard that I have to witness to Bruce. And so he left, and I knew, like, I was working the next Wednesday, I knew he would show up on Wednesday, and I went to my boss, and I told her, I said, I'm not really asking for permission. I'm telling you what I'm going to do, and if you have to fire me, fire me. But somebody's eternity is a lot more important than my job. And she said, you do what you feel like you have to do. And if you want to, clock out. All right. So Bruce showed up. I've been preparing all week for Bruce. I've got every barrel loaded. I'm going to slap Jesus into him if I have something. So he showed, and I told my coworkers, I said, when Bruce gets here, I'm clocking out. I said, I don't know how long I'll be off the clock, but I'm clocking out. So Bruce gets there. I talk with him a little bit, and I said, hey, because he always goes over to our cafe when he's done. I'm a manager over at Barnes & Noble. And he always, after he shops, he goes over to our cafe and gets something. I said, hey, when you're ready to eat, you let me know. Lunch is on me today. And so we went over there, and I was like, you know what? I'll buy your books too. Well, I didn't know he had like a bunch of Legos with him too. I'm like, this is costing me a lot of money, Jesus. But I'm like, hey, I'll pay whatever I can do to sow a seed. And so went over, clocked out, sat down with him, and I just start a conversation with him. I'm like, I'm listening to him. And that's one thing about witnessing, is you have to be an active listener. Listen to what that person is saying to you, because you're going to find a door that's going to open up that you're going to be able to walk through to share the gospel. And so he finally said something. I was like, there's my door. So I walked through the door, And I started talking, and Bruce turned us around and walked us right back out of that room and shut that door. I'm like, well, that didn't go very well. But then another door opened. And so we went through that door, and I shut it, I locked it, I bolted it up, and I shared the gospel with Bruce. And I said, Bruce, I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. He said, me too. I was like, yes. I was like, well, you can't just accept that at face value, though. It's like, well, how do you know? Here was his answer. I'm a good person. I was a good person for a long time. But if you just judge yourself, I'm a good person, judge yourself next to the Ten Commandments. How good are you? That's something we'll talk about in class too. But Bruce didn't accept Jesus that day. But he told me, he said, you've given me a lot to think about. And he thanked me numerous times for our conversation. I haven't seen him since then, but I do work this Wednesday. So it's round two. He just doesn't know it yet. But I told you that to tell you this. I was nervous the entire time I was talking with him. We're sitting there at the table, and it's hard for me to demonstrate when I'm standing up. When I'm nervous, my legs just move like crazy. Like my buddy that goes to church here, Alex Van Sant, he calls it the Jeff dance because, I mean, my legs just go. I was nervous the entire time I was talking to him, and I'm a preacher. People call me an evangelist. Like, I just call myself Jeff. I just want to see people come to Jesus. But I still get nervous. But if you look at John chapter 20, verses 19 through 21, this is a powerful thing that us as believers need to know as we go out and witness. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So we see right there in John chapter 20 that Jesus is sending his disciples. It's okay, you can pick that up. But if you notice, twice in those verses, Jesus says, peace be with you. Now, we all know Jesus didn't have a stuttering problem. So I genuinely believe there's a reason that is in there twice. The first was because it says the disciples were scared of the Jewish leaders. They just killed Jesus. Maybe now they're coming after them. So Jesus was saying, peace be with you for that situation. But then if you notice, again he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. He was saying peace to his disciples before he sent them out to witness. Don't you think if he gives them peace when they go out to witness, he'll give us the same peace? So we have the greatest news that's ever existed. So why aren't we sharing it? Statistics show that about 2 to 5% of believers actively witness. That's a sad statistic. And this one, like, you might want to pull your toes back on this quote from Charles Spurgeon. But he once said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. I didn't say it, he said it. I'm just repeating it. Every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. So why don't people share their faith, and how do we combat it? Well, the first one, again, fear and nervousness. How do we fight it? We ask for God for that peace in John chapter 20 that he gave to his disciples as they were going out. Second, and this one is so important, we need to understand that our temporary nervousness and fears aren't nearly as important as somebody else's eternity. What's another reason people don't witness? Well, we live in the United States. Everybody here has heard about Jesus. I ran a poll on my Facebook page when I was preparing this message and asked people how many times they had been witnessed to. And out of the 26 replies I got, 23 people said that it was two times or less. And out of those 23 people, 17 said they'd never been witness to it all. And that's where I fall. Nobody to this day has ever witnessed to me. I mean, there was even Jehovah's Witnesses on the street in downtown Graham. Y'all see them in downtown Graham? Like, I walked by them, and they didn't witness to me. So I turned around, I walked by them again. I guess they don't like one-armed people. I don't know. Like they did not speak. They didn't give me a tract, nothing. But in my life, nobody has ever once witnessed to me. Now, people have invited me to church, but I've never had one person care enough about my eternity that they took time out of their day to witness to me. But the thing is, even if everybody here has heard of Jesus, statistics show that it takes 5 to 7 times of hearing the gospel before somebody will make that decision to follow Christ. So the thing is, if you're out there witnessing, you might be the first person to ever witness to this person, or the second, the third, the 87th, whatever it might be. But the thing is when you are witnessing, it is impossible to lose. Because I was talking to my wife after witnessing to Bruce, and I'm like, I missed it. Like, I even came and met with Pastor Josh. I was like, what should I have said different? Like, what could I have done differently? He's like, nothing. And that's what it comes down to sometimes is. Sometimes you can go out there and you can give them everything you have. You can say everything right, and they still say no. But if you witness, you can't lose. Because the Bible tells us that we're either planting a seed, watering a seed, or harvesting a seed. So if they've never heard the gospel, you've planted the seed. If they've heard it before and they don't make the decision to give their lives to Jesus right there with you, you've watered that seed. Or maybe there's that time when you have the opportunity and you get to harvest that seed. I'm telling you, once you've harvested a seed, you're going to add another thing to your business card. It's going to be farmer. Because you're going to want to go harvest a bunch of seeds. Another one. Why don't we witness? Well, I don't know enough, or I can't answer all their questions. And that's something that has made me nervous before. What if they ask me a question that I don't know? Like, did Adam have a belly button? Or like, whatever. Like, I don't have every answer. But one thing, if you look at John 14:26, when the Father sends the Advocate as the representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. So in those moments, if you get asked a question and you don't know the answer, all right, Holy Spirit, what you got? And I'll tell you this, if the Holy Spirit doesn't give you the answer in the moment, the person might think they got you stumped, but we've got them. Because what you do is like, you know what? I don't know the answer to that question. But if you give me your phone number or email address, I'll find it out and I'll get it to you. Now, that does two things. One, it shows that person that you're witnessing to that you care about them enough to try to get answers for them. And two, they done messed up because they've given you their contact information. Now, you can reach out and witness to them whenever you want to. Now, again, we're going to hit a lot of those tough questions in our class. So just keep that in mind. Or some people are like, well, I'm just waiting on the perfect opportunity. Now, this is something my wife said, and not only is she prettier than me, but she's smarter than me. So I'm just going to quote what she said when we were putting this message together. Maybe you're waiting for the perfect opportunity, moment, or setting, but in reality, any opportunity in any setting at any moment is the perfect opportunity that turns into a missed opportunity if you don't act on it. So how do you combat that? Pray for opportunities. You pray for an opportunity, and then when the opportunity presents itself, you know God set it up, you just jump in. And we're going to talk about that one here in just a little bit. It's one of my favorite stories. So how do we get started? Some of you might still be sitting there like, I'm still not ready. Okay. I can't start a conversation with somebody face-to-face. Start with a text message. There's somebody sitting in church this morning that I had a conversation with them and led them to Jesus over the phone. I once led somebody to Jesus over Facebook Messenger after 4 days of text messaging back and forth. So if you can't start verbally, start with those fingers. Another thing that we do when we go out to eat, we ask our waiter or waitress, hey, we're getting ready to pray for our food. Is there anything we can pray for you about? Now, nothing might come of it. Sometimes people say, no, I don't want you to pray for me. They walk away, we pray for them anyway. You dirty sinner. That was a joke. But we've had people break down in tears. We've done it at drive-thrus. That's when I realized one time I was going through drive-thrus a little bit too much, because one guy's like, you asked me that last time you were here. I'm like, dang, I come to Wendy's too much. But they appreciate it. Now, if you do that, leave a good tip. All right, that went over really well. Like I told you, there are times that we pray for opportunities. God, make a way. So that's how I want to end today's message. One of the things I do, other than being a preacher and doing stand-up comedy, is I travel around doing safety seminars in factories across the country, and it's actually something God's leading me into doing a lot more. And the cool thing is I can sneak Jesus in whether they realize it or not, because they'll ask me questions at the end. I was just down in Wilmington doing a safety seminar, and they're like, how did you get through after your accident? How did you deal with it? And I looked at the person who had invited me, and I said, can I answer that question? And he's like, yeah, it's your answer. And I just grinned, and I said, Jesus. About half the room started clapping. There's a bunch of black girls in there started amening me and just, yeah, come on, preacher. I'm like, come on now. And I told them, I was like, this is about to turn into a church service. But whatever I'm doing, like even I did stand-up comedy over in Cary last night. I was like, God, if there's an opportunity, I'll take it. Give me an opportunity. So I was going to go do a safety seminar at the factory that I lost my arm at. And I was driving on the way down there. And on the way, I just prayed this prayer out of nowhere. I said, God, I know this is a safety seminar, so I'm not allowed to just bring you up. I'm not allowed to just directly open up and talk about you, but I'm believing for an opportunity to share my faith with somebody, lead somebody to Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. That was my prayer. I didn't pray the entire 2 hours. I prayed 15 seconds. So I get there, and like I said, this was the factory that I had lost my arm at. And I'm doing 8 sessions over 2 days. And it can be tough sometimes reliving the worst day of my life that many times over and over and over again. But all of my sessions were kind of going the same until I got to the second to last session. And in this part of my story, I was talking about how my arm had been ripped off, and I ran to an office and I stood in front of this window looking in the office. And a guy came out and tackled me down on the ground. And when I said that, I saw a hand go up in the back of the room. And I hadn't asked a question or given an altar call or anything. I'm like, why has that guy got his hand up? So I was like, yes, sir. He said, that was me. He was the one who had come out and tackled me on the ground that day. Now, this was 24 years after my accident, and he was still working there. And so I made a mental note. I was like, I want to talk to him when I'm done, because I was actually in the process of writing my book at the time, and I wanted to get as many details as I could about what people remembered that day. And so after the session, it was weird. Every other session I did, when it was over, people would hang out and talk for just a long time. It was almost like they didn't want to go back to work or something. So they would hang out in the room and just talk forever. This session, within 2 minutes, the entire room was empty, except for me and him, the guy who had raised his hand. Now, his name is Joe Dew, but they called him Mountain Dew. And I didn't know. I was like, you know, is that like, do you really enjoy the drink, or is it because you're such a big dude? Because he was like, at the time, he was like 6'2", 260. I mean, he was a pretty big boy. He's like, no, it's just a play on my last name. I was like, okay. And so I asked him what he remembered about that day. And one of the things he told me, he said, I remember being covered in your blood. Because when my arm got ripped off, it was bad, as you can imagine. Like, I can't imagine there being a good way of it happening, but it was gruesome. And so I apologized to him. I apologized to everybody that I've worked with since I've talked. I was like, I'm so, because I sent them all to counseling and therapy and just all kinds of stuff. It was rough. And so he said, do you mind if I tell you a story? And I'm like, no, like, you helped save my life. I got all the time in the world. So he told me that almost 10 months to the day after my accident, they were working on the furnaces there at this glass factory. And he didn't realize that some of the safety boards had been removed. He had walked out across the top of the furnace. The board breaks and he falls down into the furnace. The furnace is 1,600 degrees at the top. He said his skin started just melting. And he said that when he fell in, he's like he's basically like in hell. But he said he saw a hand come through that hole to grab him, to pull him out. And so he said he reached up and grabbed the guy's hand. It was one of his coworkers, and his coworker went to pull him out and dislocated his shoulder and dropped him. And he said at this time he was around 320 pounds. He was a big boy. He said a little while later, another hand reached down inside of that hole. He said, I grabbed that guy's wrist, and he said, the next thing I knew, I was flying through the air like I was a cartoon character. He said, I hit the floor, and my clothes were still on fire. He said, the guy that pulled me out was 170 pounds. He said, that was no human hand that pulled me out that day. That was the hand of God. He's like, I agree with you. And then he made this statement. He said, I don't know why God let me live that day. And I realized that my prayer was about to be answered. God, give me the opportunity to lead somebody to you today. So I said, Joe, do you mind if I ask you a personal question? And he said, not at all. I said, before my accident, I knew about Jesus, but since my accident, I know Jesus. I said, so I know if anything happens to me when I die, I'm going to heaven and I'm going to spend eternity with him. I said, can you say that? And he just bowed his head and shook his head no. He said, I've never felt like I fit in church because I don't own a suit. Clothes should never stop anybody from getting into heaven. So I said, Joe, we don't have to be in church for you to give your life to Jesus. And I preached the gospel to him standing there. Walked him down the Romans Road, and I said, Joe, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I said, would you like to pray that prayer today? And he looked up at me, and he had tears pouring down his face. He said, I would like that. So standing in the back of that room, I had the opportunity of leading Joe to Christ at the age of 65. It's the first time he gave his life to Jesus. 24 years before, he said, I remember being covered by your blood. But that day he was covered by the blood of Jesus. He played a key role in saving my life. And that day, God gave me a key role in saving his. Guys, we've got the best news this world has ever heard. It's our job to share it. So I challenge you. Pray for opportunities. If you still don't feel like you're equipped, take our class. It's going to fill up. So sign up, and then when we fill it up, as soon as we get done, we'll do it again. But some of y'all sitting here this morning, you might be sitting here thinking, I can't witness to somebody because I'm not sure if I'm saved. Well, if that's you, then we've got something this morning for you too. So I'm just going to ask you right there where you're sitting, just to bow your head and close your eyes. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you haven't, then this morning is for you. Or maybe you've accepted Christ at some point in your life, but you've turned your back on Him and you've walked away and you're not living the way you're supposed to. Well, this morning is for you too. Or maybe you're in here this morning and you're like I was that night when that girl asked me to come to church. And she said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "I think so." If you can't think back to a no-so experience when you asked Christ into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior, then this morning is for you too. So if that's you on any one of those three things, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you want to accept Christ for the first time, if you want to rededicate your life to Him, or if you just need that no-so experience with Jesus, right there where you're sitting, just slip your hand up in the air. I see those hands. All right, you can put them down. All right, look up at me for just 1 second. We're going to speed this along because we're running out of time. But this is something God had me start doing a few years ago. When people come to Christ or come back to Christ, they need to do so openly. Because when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, He did so openly. He didn't say, "Hey, can you go crucify me back behind that row of trees? You're on the other side of that mountain where nobody can see me." No, He died on that cross for my sins and for your sins openly. So I only think it's right that when we come to Him or come back to Him, that we do so openly as well. So here in just a second, I'm going to ask you if you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, or wanted to raise your hand, to get up out of your seat and just come line up right here facing me, and we're going to say a quick prayer. Now, why do I have to come up there? Because I'll tell you this. If you can't make a stand for Jesus in church, there's no way you'll ever make a stand for Him out in this world. So here in just a second, I'm going to count to three. I don't want you to look and see if anybody else is moving. I want you to get up out of your seat and make your way down here because you are making the decision to live the rest of your life for Jesus. So on the count of three, get up out of your seat and just meet me right here. One, two, three. Y'all come on forward. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all keep coming. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody sitting there right now, and God does this to me from time to time, not every time, but like I have a gnawing on the inside of me, and that's just the Holy Spirit's way of prompting me that there's somebody that's like, "Oh, I should have gone and I didn't, but He didn't go and I didn't go when He said to go. I can't go now." Yes, you can. So if that's you and you just feel that gnawing on the inside, like I'm supposed to be up there and I didn't go, then come on. We got one more chance. Yeah, come on, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We'll start second service late if we have to. It's worth it, y'all. If there's anybody else, you are welcome to come. This altar is open. It will always be open. For those of you who came forward, I want to say thank you. And I'm not saying thank you for me, because I didn't do anything for you. I'm just a goofy one-armed white boy who loves Jesus. I'm saying thank you for accepting what Jesus did for you on the cross. Because, man, do you know if you were the only one, Jesus would have died on the cross just for you? That's how awesome Jesus is. So I'm going to pray a prayer, and I just want y'all to repeat back after me loud enough where I can hear it, where you can hear it, where God can hear it, especially where the devil can hear it, because he's mad right now, and that makes me happy. So just pray this prayer. Just say, "Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner, and I confess my sins to you. I believe that Jesus came, that He died, that He rose, that He lives, and that He is my Lord. I choose this day to live the rest of my life for you. In Jesus' name, amen." The Bible talks about how much heaven celebrates when one person commits their life to Jesus. We've got 10, y'all. That's... And the awesome thing is, like, this is 10 eternities. It's not just like, oh, that was a good Sunday. This is eternity. Now, I'm going to say one more thing to you real quick. I hate to give you bad news, but there's a really good chance you're going to sin again. I'm not telling you to. I'm not asking you to go out there and do it, but there is a chance you're going to sin again. So many times when people sin, after giving their lives to Jesus, they want to be like Adam in the garden, and they want to run and hide. But I heard a message in the last 2 weeks. Think about that story. Adam had sinned, and he went and hid himself because he didn't want God to see him naked, and he knew he was a sinner now. But what did God do? God still showed up for the walk. Because that's what they would do every day. They would walk in the cool of the day. Adam sinned, and God still showed up for the walk. So if you mess up, and you probably will, that's why we've got that verse in the Bible. If you confess your sins. So when you mess up, just come to Him. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from my unrighteousness. And then jump right back in. Don't turn and run from God. Turn and run to Him. Now, we've got prayer workers on both sides, over here and over here. If you would, y'all can just split right down the middle if you want. Half can go this way, half can go that way. They're going to see if there's anything you need, a Bible. They want to get some information from you. We want to help you get started on this walk, because as Pastor Josh says, we're not just going to throw you in the deep end and tell you to swim. We're going to jump in there with you. So if y'all would, just go that way and that way. They're going to meet with you. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Dave. Again, we have the greatest news. Go share it with somebody. Thank y'all so much.